Hi, everyone. Welcome back to K-Pop Parade.
This is the podcast where we talk about all things K-pop, from comebacks, news, and everything else that we can fit into an episode.
I'm Trinity.
And I'm Abby. And today we're going to talk about the month of January in the K-pop world. A whole lot happened, so let's jump on it.
Last episode, we had mentioned Jay Park resigning as the CEO of his management companies, and we mentioned Jay from Day 6. And on this episode, we're going to expand on those a little bit more.
Just a little bit. So Jay Park has assured his fans that he's not leaving the music industry. Pretty simply, he just wants to actually make his own music, which I assume was his goal when he made his own company, but then got caught up in being, you know, like CEO. He was quoted saying, "I think in the past 2 years, I've done like 80 features, which is a lot, and released only like 7 of my own songs." And he said that he no longer wants to put his career on hold just because he's making a hell of a lot of money on everybody else. Then he wants to focus on making his own music again, which is valid.
Who can blame him for that?
No one.
No one can blame him for that.
Imagine the royalties.
Oh, for sure.
80 features.
Well, and, you know, being a CEO and bringing on all of these artists, you make money. And so he's doing fine financially. I'm sure he just kind of misses...
way more than fine.
I'm sure he just misses doing the whole music of his own thing.
Also, like, JYP, he's not like the CEO anymore. He owns the company. He's doing his own music again. He still makes the money, but he doesn't make as many of the decisions anymore. And then we get weird music videos like Fever.
Which is probably, though, like, a huge relief to, like, not have to make the insane decisions anymore. The really hard-hitting decisions.
Some people like that, though, you know? Ooh.
Not me.
Not me.
Another Jay that we need to touch on is Jay, formerly of Day 6. Mm. He was a highlight in our last episode because as of recording that, we had learned that he had left JYP Entertainment. Since then, the man's gotten himself in some hot water. He was on a Twitch stream and someone asked him about Jamie.
So Jamie is a solo artist and her Korean name is Park Jimin, which, she was formerly recording under the name Jimin, but recently switched to Jamie for obvious reasons when she left JYP. I think she's with Warner Brothers now or something like that.
I have no idea personally.
I love her. She's fantastic. But she and Jay have been friends for a very long time because they were in the same agency together, you know? You get really close to trainees. They were trainees together. And Jay said something stupid.
As men do.
God, he said, why is she such a thought?
God. He proceeded to, like, laugh hysterically and say things like, her voice is great, but her image is... And then he, like, made a face that was, like, close to something like disgust. He kept laughing and saying things like, she's gonna kill me. She doesn't even watch Twitch. She's not gonna know, but she's gonna kill me when she hears about this.
Well, that's the thing. The reason I like Jamie so much is because she is kind of grungy. She's a lot like Jessie, but that's not thotty. That's not like, ooh, disgusting. It is a bit different than like normal Korean standards, but when people started calling him out on it, he got all defensive and he's like, I meant she's a baddie, which... who calls anyone a baddie anymore? But fans quickly shut him down, and Jamie was not happy, which I bet it felt like, you know, a betrayal. She tweeted multiple times about being hurt and about how she'd been there for Jay at his hardest times and loved and support him and how upset she was. And her best friend also took to IG Live and, like, shredded Jay to pieces.
It was rough. She was pissed. Like, her best friend, like, on her Instagram Live... tore him apart.
And it isn't the first time Jay's Twitch has gotten him in trouble either. He was also once screen recorded where he was going on to say something about how you should support people no matter who they love, but then he backtracked and was like, no, I can't say that, I'm a Christian. I'm like, bro, what? When people called him out about that, he didn't want to be, you know, anti-ally, and see, it's like, he was no, I was gonna say it doesn't, you know, support people no matter who they fuck, but he was trying to be PG on his channel, which is dumb.
He's had multiple issues with people calling him ableist as well due to some crappy comments he made toward the neurodivergent community. It comes off as very much like, my parents aren't around anymore, so I can do and say whatever I want. Which is exactly what he is also saying. He has come forward saying that he's realizing that he's kind of taking advantage of his you know, newfound freedom, and that he just is really trying to figure out what he can and should not do. He and Jamie have apparently talked it out, and she says that they're completely fine. Jay says he's learning about what having freedom is like. There is still some concern that that he's actually sorry, or if he's sorry that his thoughts got caught on camera.
I'm of the vein that, like, he's telling the truth. He has had the censorship of an entertainment agency his entire life. And now he doesn't. And so he knows the things he was never allowed to say. And I think his brain, he's like, I was never allowed to say those things, so I'll say them, without really like thinking why he was not allowed to say those things.
Well, the problem is there are these problematic things. So is that how he really thinks? And if so, that's an issue. So, I don't know. We'll leave that for y'all to decide for yourselves on where you stand with Jay from formerly of Day 6.
No longer in K-pop, Jay. Yeah. Let's move on. Let's move on to some comebacks for the month. And we're going to start off with, however anybody decides to say this, Girls on Top, GOT, Step, whatever the fuck.
Girls on Top.
Yeah, but it was like more than that, right?
I don't know. Back, I just know it's Girls on
the
beat top
or something. GOT in the house. I don't know. It was awful. I absolutely hated it. It was terrible. And I love most everybody who's in it, but I turned it off before the 1 minute mark. It was
yikes.
I couldn't do it. They were off key on purpose. They like had a grating sound on purpose. Like, who edited this song? Who wrote this song?
So for those of you who don't know, Girls on Top is essentially the female Super M. And I remember people thinking that aespa was going to be the female Super M combined group. But it turns out it's Girls on Top. Consists of BoA, Taeyeon, and Hyoyeon of Girls' Generation. Mm-hmm. Seulgi and Windy of Red Velvet. And Karina and Winter of aespa. I still wonder why SM isn't just working with the groups they already have. Why they feel the need to make another group when you could just give these existing artists work with their original groups.
EXO.
I digress. Overall, my feelings for this is that it's fine. I don't like this SM sound era that we're in right now. Nothing sounds original, girl group or boy group. This sounds like an aespa song,
which makes sense because I hate every aespa
song. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of aespa either, and so it was just nice when you could actually decipher SM groups apart despite them having similar sounds.
True. And this kind of mishmash of members is not new for SM either. Like back in the day, like 2011, they had a combined group with some Suju members, some EXO members, and BoA.
I'm also pretty sure Jinho from Pentagon was in one of those combined groups at one point in time because he used to be an SM trainee.
Oh, that's possible. I agree. I don't know why. That's not true. I don't agree. I do know why they do this, because it's like those crossover episodes that the Disney Channel used to do, and it was like the highlight of the whole year.
Yeah, but those
year,
were good.
You know? You're like, oh my god! You're right. And I think they are going to try it as many times as they have to try it until it's good. But for now, they're not good.
Super M wasn't bad. Super M started very strong and then just tapered off towards the end there.
I don't know. I think Super M was kind of mediocre.
Hey, we both like jopping. We can't say anything. We both like jopping.
No, jopping is hella catchy. Hella catchy. Makes no sense. And it's a dumb word, but it's very, very catchy.
Jumping and popping, we jopping.
That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Anyway.
Let's
move on.
We'll move on to Kepler and their song, Wa-da-da.
Wa-da-da.
And Kepler blew up at the shop I work at.
Yeah, they
We sold out of their albums in pre-sales before we even got them in store. Now, this was a project group. They're super cute. I just didn't need them in my life. I have Weekly, I have IVE, and so many other newer girl groups. I need something different and unique, and this did not give me that. Is it catchy? Yes. Do I like it?
I was just like, another standout rookie girl group this year? What is going on? And it's like, I liked it. And I was very apprehensive of listening to it at first because I assumed I wouldn't. But it was kind of like they took the worst part of bubblegum pop, but made it cool somehow? Like, cool? Like, not very mind-blowing, but good. It's like Everglow meets Berry Good. You know? It's like, and then you're like, and you're like,
Your descriptions are so immaculate.
Thank you. I am very precise with my wording. And I've listened to the song multiple times, but I watched the music video for the first time today. And I forgot Hyunin Kai's sister is in this group. And as I was watching, I was just walking and I was just like, was that a white chick? What? And like, I had to scroll back and I had like flashbacks of Rania and Black Swan. And I'm like, what? And then I remembered it was his sister.
I do feel bad. I don't know how to pronounce her name. So I just call her Hyunin.
I don't either.
But I feel bad for her mainly because, one, she got about 4 seconds of line in this song. And then,
oh, yeah, none.
On top of that, they did their first fan sign, and she was the only member who did not receive a single gift.
Aw.
So I guess at their next one, I guess at their next fan sign, everybody brought something for her, but still, like, that sucks. And, like, I'm wondering if it's a, well, your family's in K-pop, and so we're just going to put you in and keep that legacy going. And
can we talk about that for a minute?
It's insane.
Can we talk about that? I had no idea. What is in the sperm of his parents? Like, all three of their children are in K-pop groups. And the amount of money that Kai probably makes alone in being in TXT, and then her, Kepler, is apparently going to do really well for itself. And then his older sister was in K-pop, and now she's an influencer, and she's a model. I'm like, what the
fuck? Well, I wonder, though, if, like, that's going to reflect bad on baby Hyunin, because she got put in this group, and it's almost like a, yeah, but, you know, we're putting you in here, and your brother's famous, so, or your family's famous, and so you're not going to get a lot because your family's already got that. So we're just going to put you in it because of your name.
That could be as well. I think it's like Bihee? Bihee? I don't know. But it's also their debut. You know, we don't know things yet.
That's true.
Groups, it's always a wait and see.
There's always, like, at the debut of groups, there's always the members who get absolutely nothing. And then the fans get upset. And then it moves forward in the future. And everybody starts to try to kind of get even line distribution. So that's also fair.
Right. Yeah. We always have to have the rough start, apparently, because nobody can start off well.
No, why would that happen?
What?
Speaking of not starting out well and moving forward with life, let's talk about Omega X and their song Love Me Light. Love Me Light. Ooh, love me light. Come on, girl. Don't stop, no stop, baby, love me light. Oh, baby, give me more, give me more. Give me more. Girl, who was you? Oh, I need your love. Your love. Just you, give me more. I love Omega X. We mentioned them in our last episode. They were one of my honorable mentions. They are a group of idols who were all in previous groups.
Which I love. I love that concept.
Yeah, it's great. And so, like, I found them because I loved One Team. One Team was one of my favorite groups, and then they disbanded. And I was looking up the members, and it was like, oh, Ruben became a tattoo artist. Ooh, Maknae became a fucking bodybuilder. Oh, but
as one does.
Right, casual. But then two of the members ended up in Omega X. I love Omega X. I love their music. It's a lot of fun. I didn't like this one as much as the rest of their title tracks, but I thought it was boppy, and I still put it on playlist for the funsies.
Sidebar, does this mean we're going to Korea to get tattoos from Ruben?
2,000%.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Glad we got that settled. Anyway, I was not fond of their first few tracks, even though I like I said, their concept, that second chance, that Omega instead of Alpha. But we're back to dance choruses? Really? We are? Do we have to be? Like you said, it's catchy. a solid 7 out of 10 after listening to it more than once. But then there was also a dance bridge, dance chorus, and a dance bridge. Guys, come on. Come on. And then I had a heart attack because in the pre-chorus they say, forget about those extras. And I was just, you know, over here doing shit. And I heard, forget about that sex, yeah. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
No, that's not what they said. But pronunciation. Forget about that sex. Oh, damn. Anyway.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about Alexa and her song, Tattoo. I'm gonna tell you like it is, hun. Up and down and around we go. I'll toss you up like a rodeo. Don't think I ever gonna say that I do. Then why you stuck on me just like a tattoo? Don't try to call him a beat ghost. Hitting me up when it hurts the most. Just keep talking, but it's all deja vu. Then why you stuck on me just like a tattoo? Hit me like a tattoo.
I'm not sure where this L.A. thing fits into her lore, plus it's in English, and I don't know, I miss the bomb era, but, like, you know, I still love her, I still support her, I still drive by and wave at her high school when I go up there.
I love that. Alexa is my queen. I love Alexa and pretty much every single thing that she does. She has done a major shift from some of her previous stuff, which was very, like, tech AI video.
I mean, her fans are called AI troopers, so.
Yes, her fans. This and her Reviver album were both very, very pop. What I do love about Alexa, though, is that she is hiding her storyline in her pop princess stuff. So even though the videos and album artwork seem softer, different, when you really open them up and dig into them, she's bringing her backstory into it, and it's giving very, like, parallel universe. The song itself feels like Rosé's solo stuff. Mm. Alexa's just incredibly talented. She's also hilarious. If you have never caught one of her V-Lives, I definitely recommend it. She keeps talking on one about how she's married to a wealthy surgeon who owns a yacht and they have 7 kids. Because someone on one of her lives was like, Alexa, marry me. She's like, guys, I told you I'm not accepting proposals this year. My husband, who's a wealthy surgeon and owns a yacht, would not appreciate it. I just want to be your best friend. Like, I feel like we would be best friends.
I agree. You know who is your best friend, though?
Eric Nam.
Yeah. Didn't he, like, retweet you?
And he liked my TikTok, and he, like, liked 2 of my tweets, and I've met him.
All right, calm down. And I'm seeing him twice in concert for my birthday. All right.
you asked.
I asked with different intent.
So our next song is Eric Nam and his song Lost on Me. Everything about you now is
an interview recently with him where they asked him if he thought he could dance, and, like, with full confidence he said absolutely and proceeded to vibe like a dad shepherding a middle school dance, like, oh, just arms everywhere. Eric Nam is precious, and his songs are great, even the ones in Korean, which is an oxymoron since he's Korean. And I enjoyed the pure fun and vibage of the whole album, especially Wildfire and Any Other Way. And he is a kid who will never keep his tongue in his
game. Wildfire was by far the song of the album. It was so different. And I am a slut for dissonance. And, oh, it was so good.
It was like Imogen Heap met K-pop.
Yeah, that's a great way of describing it.
Yeah.
So Eric Nam, as y'all can probably tell, love of my life.
Yep.
This is his first company under his brother's management company. So he's no longer...
I didn't realize his brother had a...
Yeah, so his brother has managed Epic High and a couple other artists for a couple years. Mm. But they just started this new management company. So he's no longer with his Korean management company. The management company is called Ian Management. This album is fully English, and there's not a single fucking skip on this album.
Does that mean he's not technically K-pop anymore?
Maybe, but I'm going to talk about him forever.
All right, that's fine.
Lost on Me has this gorgeous chorus that just builds. His voice is so smooth. And I think this style of music suits him so well. All of the songs and the videos that he has released from this album have been wonderful.
They're very, like, fashionably 70s. He's wearing a lot of, like, very kind of, like, old style clothing. Like,
70s he is, clothing. And he's rocking it because not many people could.
It's true. He's also wearing a string of pearls. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's fine. But yeah, I Wildfire, for
so
sure.
So good. For sure. This for whole sure. album was fantastic. So please go listen to Eric Nam.
Next up, we have In Hypen with Blessed / Cursed. Is it Blessed
/ Cursed? I think it's Blessed Cursed. I don't think you pronounce the hyphen.
It's In Hypen.
I know.
Why wouldn't you pronounce because the hyphen?
All the rest of the songs, you're just like Drunk Dazed and like you don't actually pronounce the hyphen. The hyphen, Jesus Christ. These boys love their hyphenated song names, which I guess it makes sense. Clearly. Considering the name is In Hypen. I really miss their vampire vibes from their previous videos, but the song was good. I don't really think anything will ever top Drunk Dazed for me, but this one was definitely more of one of my favorites of theirs.
I look at In Hypen a lot like everybody looked at TXT back in the day, with big expectations and we'll see. You know, I like the part in the background, but in the end I find it kind of a flat song. But yeah, their previous ones, even Carnival, I thought was a lot better than this one. So
you know what was not better than their last song? Skins by Only One Skins. Of what you know about it, what you know about face we both just have no written so many times in our notes.
I hated this too. Like, there's two songs on this episode that I just loathed. And I hated that the previous one more, but this, it was a mess. Why are they messy?
I love Only One Of, and I adored Libido, and I think they have really fantastic music, except for this one, the noise. There's a difference between, like, noise music. Like, people say Stray Kids and NCT make noise music. This was just noise. There was no reason like sampled for it.
Exactly. Sampled so many things and just threw them all in there. And you're like, You don't need this. Why is this here?
It's like through the majority of the song. Like, you get a pre-chorus where you don't have this awful noise and you're like, oh, maybe it'll get better from here. And then the noise comes back. I have yet to even actually finish the song because I think I can't stand it.
The way through it.
Like, and people are saying that they feel like this comeback wasn't as great because Love left the group. And so they were rushing to get a comeback out.
Oh, I didn't know somebody left.
Yes.
His name is Love?
Yeah, they had a Love. They have a 9.
What are these stage names? How do you pick a stage name like that?
I don't know. I will say, though, they are the kings of giving us boy love storylines. They're not afraid to cross boundaries that a lot of groups wouldn't even dream of.
That's true. So, Libido being the main focus
here. That song
here.
Is such a banger. I fucking love that song so much. I had such high expectations for this one and was so severely disappointed.
Why did Love leave? Love leave.
You what?
Why did Love leave?
We never got an answer.
Oh, what did it say? He just, personal reasons, just bowed out?
They just said, due to personal reasons, he will no longer be in the group. Huh. Which to me always screams weird controversy or scandal, but they just don't want it to hit the public eye.
Man, I'm so over that. I have recently gotten into Stray Kids, like, hard.
Hard, which is hilarious because you used to hate Stray Kids' music.
You're right. I don't even want to talk about it. Hard. I got into it hard, but I was watching a bunch of old stuff and I was watching the Kingdom stuff and I was like, someone's missing. Someone's missing. There's only, where? And I Googled it and it's, what's his fuck? Hyunjin had to take a hiatus because of the bullying stuff. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that made me really sad.
Yeah. But at least he came back. Unlike G-Idol, she just got kicked out.
Yeah, yeah. We all know that they're not really fair to girl groups, though.
They're not fair to anybody, though.
Nope.
Cube. We're talking about Cube. Anyway, moving on. We have Chronograph from Victim.
This one bummed me out. I'm not gonna lie.
Me too.
I did not like it. Yeah. It's not that I didn't. Okay. I didn't love it. I liked it fine. I love Victon. And in the same way with Only One Of, I guess I just probably have such high expectations because, like, the What I Said era and that entire album was so impressive and immaculate that, like, I was ready for more of that. And.
Well, this was a big shift.
Yeah.
You know? Like a more than a 180. They did multiple 180s.
It didn't feel like Victon to me, and I kind of just have a sad over it.
In terms of song, it had like a nice scale at the beginning, and I liked the duet part at the end. And it was a lot more poppy than we're used to. And even their previous release, which was like it was a special release called Sweet Travel, is so cutesy. I like it a lot. But it's like, it'll come on, it'll be like, oh, who's this? And it'll be like, oh, it's Victon. What? It reminded me a lot of Love Me Right by EXO. It had the kind of, that kind of vibe to it. And in general, Hanse is great at what he does, but his voice makes no sense to me.
I also feel like they didn't really use him to his full potential in this song.
It was a very generic song.
That's a perfect word to describe it. Very generic. And I feel like Victon is beyond generic.
I agree. Whatever transition they're doing, I would like them to stop.
You know who I never want to stop? Is Moonbyul.
Moonbyul.
So our next song is Moonbyul with Lunatic.
This dance challenge has been all over IG. Like, every single person she has ever collabed with, I've seen her dance this challenge with. And Yulia is very, very authentic, and I think that's part of her charm. It was meh. I love her, but it was meh.
Moonbyul's my Mamamoo bias. She and her music stand out and are just so different. She's got this like deep alto voice that I love, and it's so strong. And I really, really admire her producing talents.
Have we talked about the fact that she has almost as many writing credits as Yoongi and Woozi?
If we haven't, we need to, because that is something the entire world needs to know.
Yes.
She's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think this song was like a perfect highlight of her talents. It almost felt like a bit nostalgic for a reason. I could like hear 21 doing this song almost.
Huh.
It was fun, and I really liked the drum beat in the verses a lot. It was also catchy as hell, and I kept repeating the Luna Nana Lunatic part in my head for like the entire day for the first day I heard it.
I'm the type of person who has to be in the mood for a song, and recently I've been only in the mood for Stray Kids. But it's fine.
And that makes it hard when we're getting these songs for this podcast. Yes. Because sometimes we're like, I really don't want to listen to anything except this one song forever right now. But I have to record this podcast. And so I have to listen to all of these songs.
All the time. It's me all the time. So like what I do is I'll have a K-pop playlist that has every song I've ever liked in it, ever. And then I have like a 10 song playlist that is like, these are what I listen to. And then when I get tired of those 10, I move them to the big one and find 10 more. Like, I have to focus.
I always like to think that, like, Spotify's laughing at me when I'm making my playlist, because it's like, you're not going to listen to half these songs. You're just going to skip until you get to the two that you do listen to.
It's facts. Facts. And also, Facts is our next song that Trinity loves.
So our next song is Feeling Like by Pentagon.
You got me feeling like. You got it. You got it.
And my love for Pentagon runs so deep. Nobody is surprised.
We've talked about this every episode.
Listen, yeah, probably. I will say this track almost didn't feel like Pentagon for me. It feels like an SF9 song.
Which is weird because you don't really listen to SF9.
I don't dislike them. Like when they come on, like if I'm in the mood for it, I'll let it play. But it just didn't feel like Pentagon. But at the same time, if they had just done the same thing over and over again, people would be upset that they're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again.
It's true.
The world, however, loves this song. Mm-hmm. The night it dropped, it reached number one in 30 countries and hit 10 million views in the first 24 hours, which is a major record for them.
That's because they haven't won anything.
They also got their second win with this song, which was exciting. Jinho is also back. And holy shit, I miss that man. His voice is pure and perfect. So perfect. The video visually is stunning. It's very cool, very artsy. Their outfits are sexy, except, like, Yanan got fucking buff.
Well, of course he did. What else was he gonna do? He got stuck in China for, like, 3 years.
The man got so ripped. And, like, I'd watched his drama where he was sleeveless and, like, was like, oh, he got some muscle. But no. Like, and now they just won't put fucking sleeves on the man.
Of course not. Why would they?
Every stage and video, he is just sleeveless. And I just have assumed that Cube just wants me dead. It's fine.
It's true. I definitely could hear new voices. And I was excited about that. Not because I miss Hui, but because I miss Hui. And I was, you know, watching, and I was like, oh, there's Yanan. Oh, look, he's got a single line.
He's got like six in this song. Thank you very much.
Whatever. It still has a dance chorus. It's simple, catchy. And I had written, still won't win anything. And like 4 hours later, they won something. So whatever. I didn't love the genre shift in the bridge either. It's kind of jarring.
I feel like with genre shifts, they have to be done like so right, because there are very few songs that actually pull it off well.
Honestly, the biggest one for me was that SNSD song,
I Got a Boy.
And I don't think it was done well. I just think, yeah, it was done so many times that it made sense.
Oh, you know? See, I disagree. I think I Got a Boy is one of the few songs that actually does it right.
It's just a lot.
It is a lot. I will say the rest of the album is better than the title track for this Pentagon album, in my opinion. The Game, so fucking good. The Game is the song of the album, and I wish they would let fans pick the title track.
The Game is a song?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because you just texted me, The Game is the best. And I was like, there's a game now? I know we had, like, BTS World, but now what do we have, like, Pentagon Land?
Listen, I still play BTS World to this day. I got back in it. I got hooked again. I don't know what happened. I saw them in concert and was just like, oh, give it to me. Give me all the BTS content again.
Oh, God.
So, if you're going to listen to Pentagon's album, Feeling Like is good. However, 100% recommend skipping straight to The Game.
All right. Next one doesn't really make any sense for me how this is still happening, but we're listening to 101. With Beautiful Part 3. What is this Part 3 nonsense? What, like, where did this come from? I don't know anything.
I was so caught off guard.
I mean, I know, like, whenever I can get Kang Daniel and Sungwoo in, like, the same song, like, I'm great. Let's get it. But why? They had just been in, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was like, it's 2022 and we're getting a 101 song? What? However, it was also wonderful. It made me really happy for their friends. Wow. It made me really sorry.
They have friends. Yay.
It made me really happy for their fans. It was a beautiful, beautiful song, and I'm actually pretty over the moon about this. 101 being a project group meant that we knew that they weren't a forever group. We knew that they were going away. However, regrouping 3 years later, I thought that was great. The song's beautiful. They're all such powerful performers and singers, and we got an actual chorus from a group that wasn't a dance break.
What?
The guy who did the Trio of Beautifuls at the end of the first course, his voice, and I don't know any of 101 except for Kong Daniel. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But his voice.
That dude, Sungwoo on Sungwoo.
Oh, that you love his song, Gravity. I guess I forget that he was in 101. Okay. Well, whoever did the Trio of Beautifuls at the end of the first chorus, his voice was so bright and soft and smooth. I personally adored the song. I felt like it was a wonderful love note to Wannables, which is not the best fandom name.
Ooh.
But the stage felt really strong. They performed some of their older songs, and I thought it was just really cool. You know what else was really cool?
What?
Mama Doll with their song Woo-Ah Hip. Woo-Ah Hip! And so, listen, I lost my shit over this.
Oh, goodness.
And let me tell everyone why.
Please get on your soapbox.
I will. I'm going to jump up here real quick.
She does have to jump, though, because she's
maybe I'll be average height for once. Don't steal my jokes before I say them. So, Mama Doll is a group of former celebrities who have since had children. Mama Doll is Mama Idol. The group consists of Sunyi, who was in Wonder Girls, Kahi, who was in After School, Jungha, who was in Jewelry.
All of these are Gen 1, which is just insane.
It's got Young Eunji, who was in Baby Box Rev. Baby Box Rev.
It's a subunit of Baby Box. Okay,
got it. Buell, who was a soloist, and Hyun Junyi, who was an actress. And they went on a show to debut a group of idols who were all in their 30s.
They were all born in the 80s.
So cool. And like, okay, let me talk about the song and then I'll get on my soapbox again.
Don't get down. You might fall.
The beat and the breakdown of the song really make it stellar. I loved it. I hope that we can get a lot more from them. I just thought this was great. But, like, as a mom, you can lose your identity in parenthood. You are expected to basically give up who you are and focus on being a mother. That's supposed to become your entire identity.
Especially since all of their husbands are also celebrities.
Exactly. And so I love that these women re-debuted in their 30s and get to continue music and aren't letting motherhood stop them from chasing their dreams. It was just super inspiring as a mother to see.
Yeah.
I think that people think that it's bad if you don't give up who you are to become a mother. And I think that this is a really great way of showing that you can still be a mother and also still do something that makes you happy. It's just, I love it. I also desperately want to see more groups debut that aren't children.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Let the children live their lives a little bit longer.
No, they have to debut when they're in high school.
Well, it's like did we talk about it last time? I don't remember, but P Nation almost debuted a 12-year-old and then decided not to.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that they didn't, because that's a child. I mean, look at Taemin, who's been in the industry since he was 14. Look at Hyuna, who's been in the industry since she was 14.
Let's point that out. Look at Taemin, who's been in the industry since he was 14, and he's having such a hard mental breakdown that he can't even perform his military service.
Yeah, I mean, so he's had it rough. Like, the dude is literally being sexually assaulted in the military. It goes back to, like, he was bullied when he was still training or when he was debuted with Shiny, and like the other guys had to walk him to school so that he wouldn't get bullied and beat up. And these kids don't get to be kids. I understand wanting to start them young so that they're polished, but there's got to be like limits put on it. Cause well, it's like that group T1419.
Yeah.
Where the Maknae was 14 years old and he looked like an infant.
His job, you're, voice doesn't even drop by 14. They would have had to deal with his puberty. Like,
right. And so, like, I know it won't happen, but I really love this idea of debuting idols older.
That would be nice.
Why
are they all so young?
I'm gonna jump off of my soapbox and let you jump on now.
Like, I know all of these groups and their OG status, but I've never listened to a Gen 1 group before because I don't really like 90s music, and I probably wouldn't like it in Korean. So I can't pick out who is who, but the chick in that asymmetrical leather skirt is a fucking Monarch. Hot damn. I saw the music video before I knew who they were, so I didn't realize they were all older. And I was just like, oh, hello. Where have you been? Apparently she's been at home. Couldn't take my eyes off her. Don't know who she is. She was fantastic. Song was fantastic. It wasn't jaw-dropping in a non, you know, any other sense other than it, you know, moms.
It's not song of the year.
But I think it was, no, but I think it's really strong. And it was much stronger than a lot of the debuts we've seen so far. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't think I saved it, though. I should probably go do that. But you know what the fuck I did save?
Oh, I know. It's coming.
Do you know? Did you even listen to it?
No.
Listen to me. Why?
I just haven't done it.
Do it. Do it's it now. It's not
that I don't. Okay. So what Abby is freaking out about is Ruby by Woozy.
And I talked about Woozy in the last video, so I won't go into so much graphic detail, except that I will. Why is he so sexy? Tell me. He's, like, so small. He's, like, you're small. You are small. And he is, like, the same height as you. And when this song came on, it started off with, like, a really beautiful orchestral nonsense. And I said, no. Oh, no. Jihoon, what have you done? And then, bam! He hits me with this, like, red letter English single straight out of Yes Daddy Please.
Oh my
and
God.
I had to go put myself in a goddamn snowbank to cool down. I am not kidding. I was not ready. Like, he literally starts off with an orchestra piece with a beautiful piano and a violin, and he goes da 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 da, no, it's very beautiful, and it literally drops like dubstep into something that is, it's red. He wears a red suit. He's playing a red guitar. He's in a bathtub.
Weird. It's almost like the song is named Rubies. Ruby.
Oh my God. I love this song so much. It's actually really short, but it's all English. I didn't realize Woozy could speak English. I don't even know if he can. At one point, he says, he stops singing and the beat falls out and he said, shit, this is red too. And I was like,
do you need to go take a cold shower before we continue recording?
You need to go listen to this goddamn song.
I will eventually. I'm sure I'll get there.
That's a lie. That is a lie. It wasn't on any of the lists because it's a solo. So people aren't talking about it like they should be talking about it. And I got really into 17 for about 2 days. And then that. Anyway.
And then I was to say, and then anyway. Stray Kids happened.
I don't even know what happened either. I think I listened to the Thunderous. No, I watched the Thunderous music video again. I fucking love it. And then I was like, who is that? Who is that? Which one is that? And so I started watching Unhelpful Guides to Stray Kids. And then I was like, oh, okay, I think I got it. I think I got it. And I remembered all of their names and I was listening. And I was watching and I was like, wait, who the fuck is that? Which one is that? Because my brain had gotten Lino and Changbin mixed up.
How does that happen?
I don't know. But they have swapped faces. And now anytime somebody's like, oh yeah, Changbin. And I'm like, Lino? And they're like, no. No. And I was like, oh. And they're like, Lino. And I'm like, oh, Changbin. And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, I don't. Divergent. Point here is one Wii. That's our point here.
What a transition.
Mm-hmm. And with their new comeback, Universe _, but mainly just Universe. 우리 멀리 갈까? 더 멀리 가볼까? 저 별에 너와 내가 떨어지면 어떨까? 너도 알게 될까? 같은 마음 될까? And it's cute, you know, although it's very typical K-band sound. It could have been Day6. It could have been The Rose. Who knew? It was very cute, and nostalgic, and it had like this cool fisheye lens in the music video. And they put lights on his fret, on his bass, so at night his whole bass is lit up. I thought it was cool. You know, I liked it even though it was generic. And I just have to be in the right mood for something like we were talking about earlier. And it sounds like an OST, you know? And so I had to be in the mood for that. In terms of like the whole album, I think the second song, the Envision, was way better. But I tend to like B-sides more anyway.
This is true. That is a personality trait of yours.
It is. Not sure why it's a thing, but it's a thing.
So let's circle back real quick. Talking about B-sides, I meant to bring this up with Victon and completely forgot until just now.
Oh.
I am upset that they were like, oh, we're going to release new music. Here's an entire album of two songs.
Ugh.
Are we back to this?
It wasn't even a mini album.
Are we back to this? Are we back to this two-song album thing?
I mean, I don't think we were not there. Right?
I mean, but like even nowadays, like, and like I'm diverting back to Pentagon because that's just what I do with my life.
Yeah.
Even their like short albums have like five songs on them or six songs on them. I hate this we're gonna release two songs thing.
I have hated it since the beginning.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm fully aware.
But I'm just like, maybe it was because
Sung was in the military, you
know, of the pandemic. No, because of the pandemic, because they had time to record more songs. You know, there is a finite amount of time in the day that they can write a song, record a song, or, you know, record the leads for a sign and the guides for a song. They can create choreography, blah, 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 create a comeback around it. But they couldn't do half of that because of the pandemic. So they just focused on the music. This is my personal opinion. So that's why we got so much content song-wise. Not anything else wise, though.
I don't know. I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll like some of the other songs better. And then they gave me one other song, which I did like better. But I was kind of like, that's it? That's all you gonna give me? That's all I get?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
Is there anything else that came out in January that we should talk about?
P1 Harmony came back with a track called Do It Like This. And I actually really, really liked that.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet.
Very, very good.
I was gonna talk about Hyolyn's. She's sexy.
She's so sexy.
Do we even like Momoland?
I don't.
I thought that you left. I guess, what was it? Like three people left Momoland.
Yeah, they all left at once. Yeah.
Wien came back with her first.
We don't care.
Her first solo comeback with. What? Why not?
She left RBG. She's. Fucking Mamamoo over.
Yeah, but she's not. She's pulling a rabbit.
Oh!
She's still in Mamamoo.
Speaking of leaving your company, Top from Big Bang left YG Entertainment. Yeah. And he has said that, and Big Bang is prepping for a comeback that's apparently already recorded, and the video is shooting. He has said that he will continue to work with Big Bang as long as his schedule will allow.
His schedule?
His schedule. Oh.
What is he going to be doing?
He wants to focus on, like, his own music and acting, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know he was an actor.
Neither did I, but here we are.
But, yeah, Wien's still in Mamamoo.
Yeah, trust her.
My beautiful golden retriever. You leave her alone.
No, I don't trust her.
Mm. Bam Bam also came back.
With Slow-Mo. It was really good. I liked it. I also really liked Ribbon, though. Which, out of all of GOT7's music, I expected to not like. I fully expected to not like Bam Bam's and really enjoy all of his solo stuff. He also had a song with Seulgi, and it was fantastic.
Uh-huh. It was sultry, is that what it was? But then Nature came back with a song called Rika Rika. And I think, I'm not sure about this, don't quote me on this, but this might be one of their bigger comebacks since they got all that attention with Girls. You remember that horror thing from a couple years ago?
No.
Oh. It's a great song. It's horror themed. She tried to kill. Anyway, the song is whatever, but the music video and the choreography specifically is so weird that people on the internet and on like Stoompie or whatever are writing articles about how weird this choreography is. And it's like, it doesn't match the song. It looks exhausting. Like, it looks weird. So I guess there's a bunch of bunny hops, but it's like in a circus tent. It's weird.
I don't like the idea of bunny hops.
No, like your poor knees. And then it doesn't match the beats of the song or something. It's ridiculous. Other than that, Woo-Wah came back, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. I know Womble from Day 6 released a solo, but I haven't heard it yet. Oh, that's because it came out 3 days ago.
Oh, that would be why.
You know who is coming back that I'm stoked about their coming back?
Who?
Rolling Quartz.
Oh, yes. I've seen them all over.
Have you heard any of their have you heard their songs?
I heard their debut song.
I guess it's
song.
Their only one now that I'm thinking about it. But they also did a cover. Like, why say a cover? They also did a video with Alexa where they played the background music for her song.
Oh, yes. Yes, I heard. I read. Watched. There it is. I watched that one.
Love them. Love them so much. Taeyeon's coming back. Epic High's coming back. Wonho's coming back.
You know, Epic High is first generation.
I did know that.
Didn't know that. I kind of just assumed they've been here since the pyramids, kind of thing.
I mean, wouldn't that make sense that they were first generation then?
I know, but they don't feel that old to me. Like, when I was looking through, you know, first generation pictures, it's like, yikes, you know, it's the hair and the 90s and the yikes, and then there's just Epic High. Just chilling.
Epic High.
You're like, Tableau, what?
I mean, yeah, they're...
Have you always been like this?
They're in their 30s and 40s and still doing the damn thing.
All right, whatever. You know what's interesting to me?
What?
Treasure.
You mean the racists?
The racists?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's like a whole controversy with them where like people don't stand them anymore because they were like there was a bunch of cultural appropriation and racism.
In what?
Let me see. I'm pulling it up right now.
That was always... The funny part to me, not, I didn't realize it was because of racism, but they were such an anticipated comeback group from YG, and like they put threw all of this money at them, and they released two songs and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be why.
That would be
why. It kind of happened with MacKinde too, MCND.
Yeah, I'm upset about
that. We sold I really liked so them. Many of their albums until the Inward incident came out, and then we have had the same albums on our shelf for like ever at this point.
I'm still upset about that.
Yeah.
I don't think they deserve to get canceled for that.
It wasn't smart on their part, that's for sure. And they were just, I understand they were singing a song and it, you know, but you know, it goes back to we need so much more education for these idols before we put them in the spotlight.
Why did they get canceled for singing a song?
Because it's...
I know why. Okay, I know
like,
why.
What do you mean, why?
It's just annoying.
It is annoying.
Because that was dumb.
It's frustrating because stupid. It continues to happen. And that is a problem.
BTOB is coming back.
Yes, I saw that as well.
That's Peniel, right?
It is Peniel. He has hair in this comeback.
Really?
Yeah.
His alopecia was like a big story.
Yeah, I remember because it was him and Loco, the rapper, who both deal with it. And they both had like really big self-confidence issues with it. And so.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. I think that wraps it up until our February recap.
I think so.
Thank you guys so much for listening to us. As always, you can find us on our social medias. We do have a Twitter, which is at K-Pop Parade, KPOPARADE. We also have an Instagram, which is K-Pop Parade _podcast.
Which I just learned about recently.
On our Instagram, you will see that if you are in the San Antonio, Texas area, there will be a Hobie Day event. We are doing not a cup sleeve, but a whole entire cup. We have designed a reusable cup that you will be able to get with the purchase of a drink. So all of the details will be announced on our Instagram and our Twitter. But we're very excited. We're doing something a little bit different. And we hope that you guys love it.
That's fancy.
Yeah. So we're officially sponsors for that. Other than that, we thank you guys so much for giving us your time. I went back and listened to our first episode the other day.
The very first one?
The very first one.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
And the growth that we have shown. And we just really appreciate you guys sticking with us since 2019. It's crazy that we've been kind of doing this for that long. And
kind of.
So I just want to say a quick thank you for that. And we hope that you guys will stick with us for future episodes.
Yay.
We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Okay, bye.